Leslie, would you come and bring the reading for us this morning? Thank you.
The reading is from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 22. Jacob's dream at Bethel. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth."
Thank you, Leslie. The story of Jacob covers about half the book of Genesis. It runs from Genesis chapter 25 through to Genesis chapter 50. You can read about his life. But the most popular stories in it, probably, the ones that were told to children in Sunday schools and that parents have relayed to the children, all revolve around just a few chapters in the centre of that. And those we've got to put up on the screen. We can put the first one up there. Jacob's birth and the stew deal. This was in chapter 25, right at the beginning of that section. This is a story about Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau were Isaac's children. They were both born brothers together, both at the same time. And Esau came out slightly before Jacob. Jacob came out holding on to Esau's heel as he came out. And Jacob's name actually means the deceiver. And he went on to do some deceiving. So what happened was, he came out afterwards, which meant Esau was the firstborn, which meant Esau got the birthright. He was the one that was going to inherit things, because he was the firstborn into the family. Now, Jacob kind of resented this a bit, we could say. He kind of wanted that birthright. He wanted to be able to inherit things as well. So one day he tricked his brother, and his brother came back from the field. After he'd been out to hunt, he hadn't really caught anything much, and he wanted and he got back into the house. He was really hungry because he liked to eat a lot, and his brother had made a nice stew, been boiling the pot with all this, and the smell of it was lovely. And Esau came in and he said, "Oh, give me some of that." And Jacob said, "Hey, what are you going to give me if I'm going to give you some of my stew?" And he said, "Well, what do you want?" And Jacob said, "Well, I'll have your birthright, please." And Esau said, "Yeah, what good's my birthright if I'm going to die of hunger? It's no good, is it? So yeah, you can have my birthright, whatever, give me the stew." And he took the stew. But in that moment, he'd made a promise that he would give Jacob his birthright. And later on, Esau resented that. But it still had to be given him in terms of a blessing. And that was the next thing that happened. The next story is about Jacob's hairy trick and blessing in chapter 27. In that story, what happened was Jacob wanted his father. His father was getting old and dying. He'd gone a bit blind and he couldn't see properly. And Jacob wanted to get his blessing. It was his mum was pushing him to do it as well, because his mum, Jacob, was his mum's favourite. Anyone the mum's favourite here? Jacob was the mum. No, he's shaking his head, Paul, here. Jacob was mum's favourite, and she was saying, come on, go on. And Jacob, what he did was, at his mum's request, he went away and he dressed in Esau's clothes and got himself a nice hairy outfit and went in, and Esau was out in the field, so he was out of the way, and he went to Isaac and he said, give me a blessing, Dad, because I need that blessing now while you're getting older. And Isaac said, well, I need to make sure it's you first. Are you really Esau? And Jacob said, yeah, I'm Esau. Yeah, that's me. And he said, well, you don't sound like him very much. Come here and let me feel your face. And he felt his face, and it probably looked a bit like mine today. It was a bit deceiving because it had a beard there as well. And so he felt his face, and it was all hairy. And he said, well, it's not normally hairy. That's Jacob's. Yours is Esau's is hairy. So, yeah, okay, maybe that's Esau. But he still wasn't convinced. He said, come a bit closer and give me a hug. And he wanted to smell him as well and see where he smelled of the field. And he gave him a hug, and he smelt that Jacob smelt like Esau. He smelt like he'd been out in the fields as well. And he had hairy clothes and things on. So he said, yeah, okay, yeah, and now I believe it is you, Esau, because he couldn't see properly. So he said, you can have my blessing. And he gave him the blessing of inheriting all these things and basically everyone else being in the family, being his servants. And so, having got that, Esau gets back and he says, Dad, give me your blessing now. And his dad says, but you've just been and had it. He said, no, I haven't. That must have been Jacob tricking you. Well, you must still have some blessing for me. And he says, no, I haven't got any. I can only give the blessing once. I'm sorry. Esau was, well, how do you think Esau felt? Furious. He was so furious, he said, I'm going to kill my brother. But he knew he couldn't do it while his dad was alive. So he said, I'm going to wait till Dad's dead. And when he's dead, I'm going to kill my brother. And then I'll inherit it all back anyway, because he'll be dead. And that was his plan. His mum got wind of the plan. And so she said to Jacob, you need to get out of here. We need to find a way of sending you away. So she told him, she said to her husband as well, the women around here, they're all kind of not proper Israelite women. And so you need to go and he needs to find a wife from somewhere else. And not these women that are around here. And so she sent Jacob off, and got Dad to send Jacob off. And he went off to find a wife for himself in the village where her brother lived, where mum's brother lived, Rebecca's brother lived, which was his uncle, Jacob's uncle. So he then set off to flee because he knew that Esau was going to try and kill him. So he went away to go and try and find a wife for himself. And on the way comes our third story, which you're going to put up, Jacob's Stairway to Heaven dream. On the way, as he was fleeing his brother, he had a dream. And we'll talk about that story in a minute. That's the one that we've just read and I want to think about today. When he got there, we'll go on to the fourth story. When he got there, he then had a trick played on him, because he worked 7 years to earn one of the daughters of Laban to be his wife. And after the 7 years, he married her and then realised afterwards that he married the wrong woman. Go figure. And he had to work another 7 years to get the woman that he wanted, because the father had tricked him into marrying the oldest daughter first, and not the one that he wanted. So he had a trick played on him now. And then the fifth story, the other main one, is Jacob ended up having, he was on his way back then to go and try and make up with his brother and to try and resolve things. And on his way back with his new brides and with all these kind of cattle and things, he's on his way back. And on the way, he ends up in a wrestling match with God, an actual physical wrestling match with God. And that's when Jacob gets the name Israel. God changes his name from Jacob to Israel. And Israel means one who wrestles with God. And that is the name Israel that we still have today. And I would say over the centuries, probably it's true that Israel has wrestled with God. But God always had a special place in his heart for Jacob, and God has a special place in his heart for Israel. God loved his people. And that's the story, the main stories in the middle to do with Jacob. It fills those whole 25 chapters, as I said, but I just want to concentrate on one aspect of it today. That's that middle one that we haven't expanded on just now, but we read a moment ago. In Genesis chapter 28, verse 10 to 22, Jacob was fleeing from a bad situation. His brother wanted him dead. And he's travelling to an unfamiliar land to find a wife and make a new start. But along the way, something happens. First of all, it says in Genesis 28, Jacob reached a certain place. Jacob reached a certain place. While he's on his journey, he reached a certain place and he decided to stop there for the night. Now, I'm going to make this a little bit interactive today because I want you to think about some of these things as we go along. I'm looking for a response from you to this today. Because we've done a little bit of Bible study at the beginning. I've told you the story, but I want to think about how this story that we're going to read applies and we can look at today to apply to us. Because I reckon that we're all on a journey in life. And I reckon that on that journey we make plans, and sometimes along the way we might stop and reflect on where we're at. We all at times reach what we might call a certain place. Anyone ever stopped here and reflected on where you're at in life? Maybe you reach a certain age. Maybe you are in a particular job or career and you kind of rethink that again. Maybe it's something to do with family. But you reach a certain place. Sometimes we come to a crossroads. Where do we go from here? What's the next decision? Something happens maybe. How do I decide? Or a certain place doesn't have to be anywhere particular. It might be somewhere but nowhere in particular. We're not sure where things are going. We're not sure what the purpose is of where we are at the moment and which direction we should go. We're at that certain place. I wonder what certain place you're at in your life at the moment. Generally, I wonder what certain place we're at. Think about that for a moment. What certain place are you at in your life at the moment? As we start a new year, 2020, what certain place are you at the moment? Maybe you could describe it as a season. Sometimes we do these things where we say, are you in the winter season or the summer season? Are you at spring, things are about to take off for you? Or the summer, you're really enjoying things at the moment? Or autumn, it's kind of been a good time, but it's a bit kind of just a bit drier at the moment, a bit cool afterward, a bit cooled down a bit from that. Or winter, actually, it's not really a good time at the moment for me. Of course, if you enjoy winter more than summer, you turn all that around. Also, not just generally in your life, but spiritually as well. Where are you at spiritually? What certain place are you at spiritually? Are you still growing in your faith at the start of this year? Do you feel you're going somewhere in your faith? Or have you come to a bit of a plateau, a standstill? If you had to say, we sometimes do this with young people in youth groups, if you had to say on a scale of 1 to 10 where you were at with God at the moment, what is your relationship like with God at the moment? 1 being, it's almost non-existent, it's not really great. I don't really pray, I'm not really in touch with God much, I kind of, yeah, you know. Or 10 being, yeah, me and God, we're like that, mate. We're best of buddies, we love spending time together. I just feel on fire for God. I can't wait to tell people about Jesus. Where are you at on your scale of 1 to 10? And more importantly, do you have a desire to move up that scale, or are you quite content sat where you are? What certain place are you at the moment? So Jacob reached a certain place while he was on his journey. And Jacob had a dream. His dream was of heaven touching earth. He knew God was there. Jacob saw a stairway to heaven. We've heard the song Stairway to Heaven. Another phrase that's often used to do with this story, that's where the Stairway to Heaven song comes from. That's the phrase, comes from this story. As does the phrase Jacob's ladder. Have you heard of Jacob's ladder before? That's where that comes from as well. Because the word in the Bible that's interpreted stairway in the NIV here is sometimes also interpreted ladder. So it's ladder or stairway. Either way, it's these steps going up and down to heaven. Jacob saw this stairway, this ladder, in that place, and God spoke to him there. And God reassured Jacob of past promises, that despite his failures, because Jacob had deceived, he was a deceiver, he had done things that weren't right, despite all of that, and despite the way he'd been, and despite the fact that his brother wanted to kill him now, God still loved him. God still had plans for him. God still saw the potential in him. Maybe 2019 was a bad year for you. Maybe the past 20 years have been bad years for you. But God wants to remind you and me of the promises that he made to us. That he still sees the potential in us as we move into 2020. That he still loves us. Whatever's gone before. And he met with Jacob and he reminded him of this in this certain place where he was at just then. He reminded him, I made a promise to you that I was going to prosper you and that you were going to, I was going to bring descendants from you that would be followers of me. I've got plans for you and purposes for you. And when Jacob opened his eyes again, he realized this was an awesome place. This is none other than the house of God, he said. God dwells here. God is here with me in this, what I thought was a certain place, is an awesome place. He actually uses that term. This is an awesome place. He says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. How awesome is this place? Jacob thought he was alone. Maybe you feel that way sometimes. Maybe you feel as though God's gone distant from you at times. But he wasn't alone. God was with him. And God saw the potential. God is much closer than we think. He's not a distant father. He's not a distant father. And everywhere can be holy ground. Because God is there, just like he's here this morning. Now let's just dream with Jacob for a little bit. I said I was going to ask you to interact a bit. I want you to do something now for me. I want you to shut your eyes, but keep your ears open because I'm still speaking. But close your eyes. And I want you to see this place. Let's just... where we are this morning in this church, just for a moment, see this place as a place where heaven meets earth. What would an awesome place where heaven is touching earth look like right here, right now? Okay, you can either keep your eyes closed or you can open them, but I want some little bit of feedback. What's it look like? Speak it out from where you are.
Joyful,
okay?
Bright.
Energetic. Energetic but peaceful. People at peace, yeah.
Love.
Hope, a place full of hope, yes. Anything else?
I've got little cherubs.
You've got little cherubs up there, little angels around, yeah.
And there's music.
Music, great. It's good, isn't it? Is it a good place? Bit awesome as well. A bit kind of like, whoa. And And God wants us to meet with him and help him turn a certain place into an awesome place. Who believes, put your hand up this morning if you believe that God is here. Okay, hands down. That's out of all of us or the majority of us. In which case, if God is with us here this morning, then in the same way as Jacob recognized when he didn't know God was there, but then he recognized God was there and he said, wow, this is an awesome place. This is the house of God. God is here with us. Wow. In the same way, when we come together and wherever we are, when God is with us, we need to begin to recognize that and it fills us with that wow factor. We need to begin to work towards helping turn certain places into awesome places. So when people come in here, they see God's glory, they meet with Jesus, and they hear his voice. Isn't that what we want? They say, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't aware of it. It's awesome. That's what I, and I'm sure you, would like this church to be. That's what we want people to experience when they come in here, to experience God. But it goes beyond just here into where we are as well, which I'll say about now as we move on. So Jacob had a dream, he saw heaven touching earth, and Jacob saw it was an awesome place. He saw things more positively. Jacob was in the same old place, but when he opened his eyes, he saw it much more positively. He saw it as a place where God was and where God wanted to work, a sort of gateway to heaven. I wonder, do you tend to see things positively, half glass full? Half glass full or half glass empty? What kind of person are you? See, we can look at our circumstances and we can say, oh, you know what? There's a lot missing. It's only half full, that. Pretty dire situation I'm in. Got these health problems. I've got these issues. Got these financial issues. Got these other issues. We can look at it like that, or we can say, hey, look, I'm half full. I've got all this. I've got this person in my life who loves and cares for me. I'm not starving to death. You know, I can still walk around, or whatever it is that we've got. We have certain things. We're thankful and grateful for what we've got. We can see things positively or half empty. Trying to see God at work in situations and people's lives may help us to see things differently. Perhaps we need to look beyond past issues and struggles with church and see it more positively. See what God's presently doing, all he wants to do here in the future and in us. And let me ask you a question again. Can you see your normal daily life, your workplace, your home, your football team? If you play in a football team, some of the guys here do. Your club that you go to. Whatever it is, can you see your daily places where you are as a place where God is and wants to work? As a gateway to heaven for God to move freely, where he's at work and wants to be at work in that place. Can you see it as that? What might that look like in your home, in your work, in your street, in our city? And can we join in? Can we join in by praying towards that and by doing something actively in that? What part can we play to get alongside what God might be doing and wanting to do in that place? Because do you believe that God wants to work in lots of different places? Do you believe he wants to do that? Would like to do that? So can we start to see it that way, that when we go to work, despite all the language that's used and despite the thing that it seems very secular, it seems very much like the last place God is, actually try and see it as somewhere where, because God is there, not just as a certain place, but an awesome place where God is at work and wants to work. And yes, there may be things that aren't right. There may be a glass half empty, but there's also a glass half full. God is wanting to do things here. I want to pray into that and get alongside that, what he's doing here in these these different places where I am. Everywhere can be holy ground, because God is everywhere. Every task can have significant purpose, because God can work through us in it. And every day can have spiritual potential. God wants to keep doing new things, and he's always looking to move and do new things. And as we move into 2020, this year can hold new exciting things that God wants to do. But will we look at it that way and believe that, or will we just think it's just another year? Are we excited about what God could do this year? Can we begin to pray into that, work towards that? And as you go back to work or home or wherever it is, to see that with new eyes. And finally, Jacob rededicated himself and that place to God as a witness to all. Jacob took the stone that he'd been sleeping on. You've all got little stones this morning. This is to remind you of this. I think the stone that Jacob slept on probably was a little bigger than this. But I couldn't pass around stones that big to you all this morning. So you've got this instead. Jacob took the stone he'd been sleeping on. He stood it upright as a pillar. And he dedicated that place to God. He called it Bethel, which means house of God. He dedicated it to God. And he vowed from now on, as long as God was with him, he'd be totally dedicated to God too. And who knows that God promises he'll never leave or forsake you. Do you know that? He does, so he's with you. And Jacob says, if you are with me, which we know he is, then I will be dedicated to you. I'll commit my life to you. I'll live for you. I'll be expectant of what you want to do and move with that. And he set up the stone pillar as a witness to everyone of his commitment to God in that place. Let me ask this question to you. Have you reached a certain place in your walk with God where maybe it might be useful to set up a pillar, even this morning at the beginning of 2020? To dedicate for the first time, or to rededicate your life to him in some way again? Maybe it's an area of your life that you know that you need to address. Maybe it's a place that you really haven't seen the potential of God in, and it just has become just a place of work or just the home issues or whatever. But I want to see the potential of God in that place. If so, what could you do to remind yourself and witness to him and others of a commitment you could make this morning? Maybe for some of you, I just want to throw this in there. Maybe for some of you, it is getting baptized. You've put it off and put it off and said, I don't need to get baptized. I'm kind of a bit scared about being at the front here anyway. And, you know, I don't want to have to be at the front. I'm not a centre of attention type person. Hey, it's not about that. It's about just showing your commitment to Christ. Jesus said, be baptized. If you've been putting that off and you want to show your commitment to Christ in a biblical way, then I would encourage you to come and be baptized. Let me know afterwards if you'd like to do that. Membership, commitment to the church is church membership. Saying, I want to be part of this church family. Giving to God, maybe financially giving something sacrificially. Do you know giving takes faith? Because when you pass your money on, you don't really see it again. You might get the accounts and see it at the end of the year, but you pass the money on. When we go into a shop, we want to see something for our money, don't we? When we go to the shop, when you're looking for a holiday, you're looking for a bargain. When you're going in a shop, you're looking at where the sales are and what you can get the most for your money. When you bring money to church and you give it to God or through your bank account, you're passing it on and you don't really see how that's all used. I reckon it takes faith to give money in that kind of way. But maybe you know that you should give more to God, to his work. The leadership of the church and the church members have an awesome responsibility in making sure that we spend that money correctly. But our job as members is to give faithfully to God. Maybe it's that way. Maybe it's in service. Maybe it's in witnessing. Maybe it's a personal thing. You need to repent of something or to commit more to prayer or holiness or whatever it might be. Listen, I don't say these things because I'm trying to be critical that everyone's got something wrong, although we all have, me included. But I say these things to encourage us that God sees the potential. He knows that we mess up like he knew Jacob messed up. He knows that we fail him like he knew Jacob failed him. But he still loved him. He still had things for him. And for Jacob to enter into all of that, he had to rededicate himself to God and commit to him again and say, yes, I put the past behind and I want to live for you this way, God. And I want to give you an opportunity this morning at the start of 2020 to do that here this morning. Have we reached a point as a church where we need to build something new for God here? We need to take the stone that we've possibly been resting on a bit, turn it upright, tip the dust off, tip the dirt off, and say, God, we're going to commit to you again to go forward and be the light in this city that we're meant to be. Be the witness in this community that we're meant to be, and be people who go from this place to be the people we're meant to be and shine for you.